Well, we certainly do thank God this morning for His wonderful salvation and His wonderful freedom. That song that was sung earlier before that talked about looking to Jesus. And I was thinking as we were singing, as she was singing the song, about when we look to Jesus, what do we see? And I know there could be more than one answer. I believe the Bible teaches us that no man has seen God at any time. Listen to what Paul wrote to us in 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So I believe Jesus said Himself, have I been so long with you and you've not seen the Father? He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. So when we look into the face and look to Jesus, that's the reason it's so important, one of the reasons. It is so important to keep our eyes set upon the Lord, looking to Him for the help, the direction that each one of us need daily. Is because when we see Jesus, we're looking into the face of God. We're seeing the expressed image of God come down to us. So thank the Lord this morning. Emmanuel has come, and we can see Him today through Jesus Christ, His Son. Another song, leave that thought now, another song that we sing, number 264, in the last verse said, and flood this earthen temple with glory from Thy throne. When something is flooded, we might say it's pretty well saturated. It's pretty well wet. If something has been inundated and the floods have risen above it, then pretty much everything below that water line we can say is wet. The songwriter said this earthen temple, this house of clay, the spirit of man, the soul of man, the heart of man, the intellect of man, the woman, the person. The cry was, flood, inundate, baptize, get me thoroughly wet, purge out all the dryness and all the lukewarmness and all those things that hinder me in my happiness and in my peace, and in my journey with Christ, flood this earthen temple with glory from Thy throne. I want to go back to some of the things we talked about last Sunday. Because I know this, God wants to flood your heart and mind with His Holy Ghost. God wants to fill you and me, these earthen tabernacles of clay, with glory from His throne. He wants to give liberty and glory, and He wants to give power, and He wants to give the fruit of the Spirit. He wants to give the joy of salvation and the freedom of Christ. He wants us to be purged, and He wants us to be pruned, and He wants us to bear much fruit. And all of that comes through allowing the Lord to flood this earthen temple. And am I willing to do that? The Lord has given us some scriptures. The Lord has given us instructions. And the thoughts that we presented last week and the thoughts that we will, Lord willing, present this week, I believe are tips of the iceberg. They're by no means the full depth of the glory of God and the knowledge of God. But may they excite us to say, Lord, I want to be flooded. I want to be baptized. I want to be inundated. I want to be thoroughly wet in Your love by Your Spirit. I'll reiterate some of the things we said last week before we go on, and bear with me. Over in Joel, the 2nd chapter and the 15th verse, and we read where the writer wrote, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify fast, call a solemn assembly. It's interesting that he spoke to Zion. And I want to take note of that this morning. We believe Zion in the New Testament represents the body of Christ, the saved believer, the church. We believe that Zion represents the church that Jesus built. And here it was literal Zion, no doubt, but I believe it's also, we know, prophecy. And the word was in Zion, among my people, in my people, in the hearing of my people, blow the trumpet. Now sometimes we can take that in a way that the preacher is supposed to blow it and accuse one another or something like that, but that's not at all what I believe the writer had in mind. When we think of and we said this last week, when we think about the herald sounded, when we think about the trumpet's blast, we look for the announcement that comes afterwards. Because the trumpet itself is just the sound to gather. It's the sound to pay attention and to give heed for that which follows. And that which follows from God is good. And what He has for us this day in this gospel dispensation, what He has for us in the book of Joel here, is something rich, something wonderful, and if we will enter into it and obey it and follow it, I believe the Lord said, happy are ye if you do these things. You know to do them and you do it. To recognize what God has provided for us, He wants to flood us, saints. He wants to flood the church. He wants the heart of every believer the worldwide totally immersed with His Spirit, fully filled with the glory and the rapture of God. That's going to take purging. That's going to take submission. That's going to take obedience. That's going to take a want to and a desire. But may I say the want to and the desire on God's part is here. And we want to read some more about it and talk some more about it this morning with the help of the Lord. 21st verse we read. Fear not. Don't fear the proclamation of the Lord. From the birth of Christ and backwards and forwards, it's always been peace on earth, goodwill toward men. There's been the times of punishment. There's been the times of God's wrath. But I want you to know today, He had no delight in that. And He had no pleasure in that. And it was not something He had great joy in being able to inflict punishment on His people. The good news is, it's peace on earth. Fear not the trumpet sound. Fear not the blast from heaven's portals to us. Fear not the message of the Holy Ghost. Fear not what God has. Listen to what He said in the 21st verse. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. We want to know that today. God wants to do great things. We live in an unbelieving society. We live in an ungodly society. And I cannot promise you that it's going to get better in the world. But God is looking into the hearts and the minds of the church. And when I say that, I mean the universal church of God. Wherever a saved individual is, that's part of God's, Christ's body. That's part of the church of God. And He wants to and is doing in those who will submit. He said, be glad, for God wants to do great things. He wants to do great things for every one of us today. But we have to let Him. And He doesn't do it through the flesh. He doesn't do it in making us rich, prosperous, famous, giving us necessarily long life, giving us always totally healthy bodies. He doesn't do that by making everyone love us. He does that through His presence, His glory. I believe the word Shekinah glory, the glory of God dwelling in this temple, victorious, above sin. Not because the virtue of the flesh or the works of the flesh, but because of the presence of the Holy One. He wants to flood us today, saints. He wants to flood us, release us. He wants us to be able to swim in the river of God's love. that said the Lord will do great things. In the 25th verse, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you." God did punish the people. But listen to what he was saying. I will restore. Did you know, and we talked about this already last week, the old cankerworm, the palmer worm, lethargic spirits, things of life, the cares of this world, cares of this life, the various things that you and me sometimes inadvertently, I don't say not above God's cautioning, but we sometimes slide into little areas that we realize, I've gone in a direction here that's causing the worm to want to start eating. And the Lord promised to every one of us, He is a God of restoration. He's a God of healing. He's a God that makes all things new. And in this proclamation, He said, fear not. Don't be afraid. I'm going to do wonderful things. I'm going to move in your heart. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to restore that the cankerworm and the evil one maybe has stolen or is trying to steal. He wants us to be able to strengthen the feeble knees. And He wants to be able to come and lift up our hands that hang down. And it's always Him. The good news is God wants to do that for us, everyone. Well, the report goes on here. The 27th verse. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. From the very beginning in the garden, every recounting we have of the Lord, His heart's desire is to dwell among His people. He wanted to be with Adam and Eve. I am thoroughly convinced God enjoyed His time with Adam and Eve in the garden. I believe He enjoyed seeing their holiness, their innocency, and their purity. And their heart was right. There was no guilt in their mind. They were able to have an open, free relationship with God with no condemnation. I believe today God has the power and the strength and the grace to create in us a pure and a clean heart and dwell in this temple, where once again there is therefore now no condemnation, that the guilt can be washed away. And God wants to inhabit my heart and yours. He wants to be in the midst of His people Israel. He wants to be in the heart of the believer. And I don't mean just as the God who forgives me. That's most wonderful. But the God who lives in me, the great I Am, has taken up His residency in type as He did in the tabernacle or in the temple, upon the mercy seat in the most holy place. The Lord wants to enter in today to the temple of my heart and your heart. Come with the blood of Jesus Christ applied and wash us, not only from our committed lie, but from that man that's prone to wander. That man that was bent towards wrong, and create in us a new heart and a clean heart and a right spirit. That's good news. I'm glad He blew the trumpet. I'm glad He got your attention, and I'm glad He got my attention this morning. Then in the 28th verse, in the 29th, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." All flesh. "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit." I told you last week that I got to thinking this thought, and it is not proper. We consider it an insult for someone to say, "Well, you're all wet." That means you're out of the know, you're kind of backward in times, and you're obsolete or whatever. But you know, the Lord wants us all wet. thoroughly, thoroughly drenched, thoroughly washed, thoroughly baptized. And he said part of the sound that the announcement that was made after the blowing of the trumpet, he said, this is what I'm going to do in those days. And we believe it's gospel dispensation days. We believe it's the days of the kingdom of God on this earth, the establishment at Pentecost of the church. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to pour out. I'm going to flood. I am going to pour out my spirit on all mankind. This morning, may the Lord help us as we try our best with the Lord's help to continue on with this thought. The Lord wants to work a very wonderful thing in your life and mine. He wants to take the disappointments. He wants to take marital relationships that's gone sour. He wants to take hearts that have been broken. He wants to take men and women that are tempted beyond measure almost in sin. And he said, I want to make all things new. I want to do a work in the land. I want to go into your heart, into your temple, into your tabernacle, and establish my kingdom there, and my spirit will be there. The Lord Jesus said that it was imperative, it was expedient, it was necessary. It was so necessary that he go away. And I'm sure the disciples didn't understand it. But he said, if I don't go away, why did he say that? The Holy Spirit, whom I will send, will not come. It was expedient that God came and inhabited the temple. And this is our news. And God wants us, good news, and God wants us thoroughly immersed in God the Father, in Jesus Christ his Son. Now let's go on and see what the Lord has for us in, I believe it's Mark, the first chapter. We're going to just read a few reference scriptures. Mark, the first chapter and the 8th verse. I believe this may be John the Baptist speaking. I indeed baptize you with water. Baptism is to be immersed. It's not necessarily sprinkling by any means, but it is an immersion. And you remember when you were baptized, you got wet. And you didn't get wet just the top of your head or the soles of your feet. You got wet. Realize baptism is not the Holy Ghost, and baptism doesn't get the inward man wet as such. But baptism, by its definition, means to get wet, get immersed, go in, go under, get wet. John said, I baptize you with water. But he, speaking of Christ, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. I believe in another place it speaks about the Holy Ghost and fire, power, purging, authority, warmth, heat, energy. Something more than just baptism as a testimony that I've been saved, that I've been forgiven, that I have renounced the old man. That's very necessary and very important. But John said, I'm baptizing you with baptism or water through repentance. Oh, but there's one coming. Another place he said, I'm not worthy to unloosen his sandals, his shoes. Greater than I am, and I've got to decrease from the scene. But he must increase. And he said, he will do something even greater than this. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. God wants his church immersed. God wants his church baptized by the Holy Ghost. Acts, another reference scripture. Acts, the first chapter, 4th verse. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. I believe if you would reference this out, it would take you eventually back to the prophet Joel. Wait for the promise of the Father, saith he, ye have heard of me. Which, saith he, ye have heard of me? For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So the Lord, our Lord Christ, said, you will be. We know what happened. We can read that in Acts on the day of Pentecost. As the upwards of 120 of them were in the upper room praying, I'm sure fasting, seeking out the Lord and tarrying and waiting for the promise. Something unlike anything that had ever happened before came and baptized them. And they were immersed in the Holy Spirit. It radically, folks, it did not just a little bit change them. It radically changed them. And now, I don't mean this in getting out on the street with your signs and protesting. I don't mean that it's going to cause you to be a rabble-rouser or someone that is obnoxious and their voice is overlooked because they're so radical. But I want you to know something. What God has for us will radically, dynamically change us for the better. We think being a Christian is great, and folks, amen to that. To be a Christian as a temple of God in the sense that we've been immersed into Christ, baptized with the Holy Ghost, that's great. That's wonderful. That's where God wants us. It's not some place that is hard to get to, by no means. I know we have to die to the flesh, and we have to be crucified with Christ, and we have to give our body as a living sacrifice. But folks, when you consider the reward of Jesus Christ and God the Father living and reigning in your mortal bodies, the price is insignificant, really. Once we've paid the price and obtained the prize, we praise God for it. This morning, God wants to baptize us, immerse us with the Holy Ghost. With Himself, really, is what He's saying. Maybe one other reference here. In Acts, the 11th chapter, in the 15th verse, Acts 11 and 15, Peter may be speaking here. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them and on us, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that He said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Peter was a witness to something. Peter was a witness of the Spirit of God falling on them at Jerusalem in that upper room. And Peter was a witness here of the people receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Totally immersed into the Lord. So my thought here is, when we speak about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit coming, we need to understand that it's not just something we think makes a good story. But it is Scripture. It was prophesied of old. Christ spoke of it. The apostles spoke of it. There's history recorded of it happening. And the Lord wants us to seek it, desire it, see the value of it, the importance of it, to be thoroughly, thoroughly saturated, filled up, complete, lacking no gift, come up short on no point because the great giver of life itself, the great I Am, has chosen His people to dwell in them and among them and in the midst of them and pour out His Holy Spirit, pour out His love, pour out His power, His freshness, His newness, go into our waste places, go into our dry places, go into our fearful places. Go into those places that hold us back, that steal our liberty. Go into those places that we know they're there and we want to get rid of them, but we don't know how. We want God to have the access by being thoroughly, thoroughly immersed in Jesus Christ. That He can go in those secret places. He can go in and wash us. And that old fear that hinders us and that old fear of man that hinders us, and those, you name it. The relationships in homes that hinder us. The pride that lifts us up. Vanity is nothing, in other words. He wants to go into us and purge us and cleanse us and give us power over those areas. He wants to be all in all to His children. John 1 and 16, and of His fullness have all we received, grace for grace. Best I understand that verse to mean grace for grace is an abundance. Not lacking in supply. More than enough. An inexhaustible supply. We're going to read just shortly about a river. It's a river not of waiting. It's not a river full of sandbars. But it's a river we can swim in. Grace, multiplied grace. Grace to meet every need. Grace to cause you and me to have courage when fear is crying out. Grace to cause you and me to be able to politely turn the other cheek. Grace that will enable us from our heart, to forgive. Grace that will enable us to look at sin and say, no, stay there with it, not go from there. Grace multiplied, flowing, river of love, not only from God, but in us, flowing out of us. Let's look at that and consider just a little of what Ezekiel had to say. Start about the 40th chapter of Ezekiel, and we surely won't start there today. It's a very interesting part of the book. And the man with the line in his hand goes about kind of tutoring and showing and measuring things and letting it increase. There'll be no end. Not left to other people in the imaginations of man. But God will be in the midst of her, directing her, leading her, teaching her. He wants us to walk about Zion and look at her bulwarks and her towers and the glory of Zion. And I don't know, I believe when you read beginning to 40th chapter of Ezekiel, it's almost like God is saying, come on, I want to show you some things and the glory and the beauty and the power and the majesty. I know it can mean other things. God wants us to understand Zion. He wants us to be not just looking through something and visualizing it a little bit. God wants us to experience all the glory of Zion. The gospel came to you and me. Let's go to that 47th chapter of Ezekiel. Read some here. I want to read something to you first. Just came to me. Hebrews, the first chapter. I want to read it because I'm not sure I can quote it verbatim. Hebrews 1 and 1. God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the Father by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world, who being the brightness of His glory and the expressed image of His person. Down through the ages of time that we understand time to be, God has used quite a few different ways to speak to us. Sin prevented it. The estrangement prevented it. And I cannot tell you why God did what He did the way He did it. Brother Porter told us one time in Revelation study because he wanted to. And I have to leave it there a lot of things. But the Lord began at the fall to bring man back. Why it took so many thousand years, I cannot tell you exactly. But I know this, through it all, God had a plan to restore us. He wasn't satisfied with Adam and Eve picking thorns out of their feet. He was not satisfied with their estrangement, nor yours, nor mine. He wanted us back. He wanted us back. Because of that, and because the way was treacherous and the way was complicated, I can't go into all that because I don't understand it completely. God began in divers methods, different ways, at different times. He dealt with us. He dealt with Abraham. You know, He dealt with Noah. He dealt with Abraham. He brought in the law of Moses, and there was the prophets. Then there was Jesus Christ. And now there's the Holy Spirit. And I'm not putting the Holy Spirit above Christ. Now, some way God had a plan that I don't thoroughly understand. But I can see part of that plan in this little parable or this little vision that Ezekiel saw. It's our way back to the fullness of the glory of God. Songwriter said, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me, I'm His own. Oh, dear ones, today, can we grasp that is a true song in that sense? God does want to walk with you. God does want to talk with you. God does rejoice. He does want to put His arm around us and say, you're mine. He said in one place, and these shall be mine, saith the Lord, when I make up my jewels. God wants you to be a jewel. He's designed you, designed a plan of salvation, maybe I should say, that you might be a jewel in His kingdom, filled with His Spirit. If I may, I'll read some here in Ezekiel. Consider some of this. 47th chapter. Afterward He brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters. Now you'd have to go back, and we're not going there, but you'd have to go back and research some of this to understand the house and etc. And behold, waters issued from out from under the threshold of the house eastward from the forefront of the house and stood toward the east. And the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. So we're speaking about literally water coming out of this house. It's given directions, its place. And listen to it grow. Listen to things that happened. And listen to the promise that's in this. And this is where God wants us to be, folks. He wants us to be in this flow. He wants us to be in this great grace. He wants us to have this river. He wants us to have this life. Then brought He me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate, by the way that looked eastward. And behold, there ran out water on the right side. I know this is, without going over it word by word, can seem tedious, but let's go on. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. Now here's where I kind of thought about God, who in various times and divers ways, sundry day, ways and times, spoke to man through various means. He measured 1,000 cubits, and He brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankle. None of this is bad, I don't believe. But the ankles wasn't a place to stay. It was necessary. Whatever we may want to conclude the ankles are this morning. Law of Moses, Abraham, your first hearing of the gospel of Jesus Christ, your first conviction of sin, can mean various things. And He measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the ankle were to the knees. Waters got a little deeper. 1,000 furlongs, 1,000 measures out. It's not bad. Still God's water. Still God's place. Still where God wants you. Still leading you. Still guiding. It can mean different things. We could put symbols to it. Again, He measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters to the loins, up up around, a little above the waist, around the kidneys, somewhere in that area. Getting a little antsy now, aren't you? What's going to happen? That water's getting deeper the further I go. Yes, indeed it is. And God wants you and me, saints, to know by His Spirit, Corinthians said it, I believe, the deep things of God. He's not satisfied in us being ankle, knee, kidney, loin deep. God's got an experience whereby each one of us, from the oldest to the youngest, least to the greatest, can know the Lord for ourselves. All His glory, all His majesty, all His power, all His purging authority, all His freedom, all His joy, all His love. I preach this and I think, Lord, help me to be there. I don't lift myself up as a shining example, but we lift up Christ this morning and the promise and the sound of the trumpet blowing. I want to be here. I trust I am, and I'm willing by all God shows me to go deeper. I'm not looking down and saying, you people, I'm saying me. Lord, I want to be immersed. Totally. So now here we are low and deep. Wow, never thought I'd get this deep. I don't know what all in references this could represent. I believe God can use it in different ways. So we get up to our loins and kidney area. Wow, I'm pretty deep. And we look up ahead, and there's that man with a line in his hand. Come on. Come on. I want you to go to the upper room. I want you to wait now, and I want you to tarry, because I've got a baptism for you. And it's not the baptism of this river, and it's not the baptism of water. I want to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Come on. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and all of a sudden, it became a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Joy to the world, we sing. And this shall be to all people, I believe, was it? Not the proclamation of the angel. Not just to the Jew, but to all men everywhere. This river went out. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the good news. Think about it. So many things that you can draw from this thought here. But it became no more Abraham forsaking the moon God. It became no more Moses on the mount. It was more than Isaiah and the prophets and Daniel and David and the kings. It was more than the little babe being born. But it became a river for me to live in, swim in, dwell in, be immersed in. May God help us this morning to understand God has presented the river of life, and again, we can look at it various ways, I know. Comes from the throne of God. Came out of this house. He said it'll be in us, coming out of us. Folks, we've got to be immersed in it for it to come out of us. Then I want to go down to the 12th verse. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side shall grow all trees for meat. Again, symbolism. We each one have liberties to understand and apply it as it meets our needs. Whose leaves shall not fade. So we've got a tree growing by the river, both sides. Not weak. It's not subject to frost. It's thoroughly nourished. And the leaves don't wither. Neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. I want to stop here a moment. He said we have received grace for grace. If I drink this water in this cup, if I drink half of it, it's half gone. If I drink all this water, it's all gone. Unless one of the young men choose to replace it, that's the end of my water while I'm standing up here. But he said we could have grace multiplied for grace. As your day is, he promised, so shall your strength be. Deuteronomy, I believe. As we meet the trials and the test, the leaf's not going to fade, folks. From this river is an eternal supply from heaven above. Satan is not going to go to heaven and cut off the supply, folks. The river's flowing. God says, dive in. Come on out. Be immersed. Be thoroughly immersed in me. Be flooded with me. And he said that, don't worry. You're not going to take of the fruit today. You don't have to hoard it. You know, they couldn't hoard the manna, could they? Only on the day before the Sabbath could they take up one day's supply extra. They couldn't hoard the manna. They couldn't say, well, old so-and-so over there, he got one bushel, but, you know, it may not be here tomorrow. I'm going to get me two bushels. So you and your family eat that bushel that day, and you're kind of chuckling, saying, well, I don't have to go out and get any tomorrow. Today, I got some yesterday. And you open the cupboard, and you got moldy, stale, rotten manna. But there never was an end of it till God said it. May the Lord help us today. Grace for grace. Now, you could have taken this approach if you'd have been a Hebrew in those days. Honey, I sure hope that grace and that manna's going to be there tomorrow. You reckon it'll be there? But you know, sometimes we take the promises of God like, you reckon he'll do it? Do you reckon he'll sanctify me? Do you reckon he'll fill me? He said, grace for grace, we've all received our supply. And he said, we'll not consume the fruit of these trees. Why? Because the river is there. And that river is of divine origin. Thank God this morning. Don't be afraid to trust God. He'll give you grace for today, right now. He'll give you grace at 12. He'll give you grace at 12:30. And if you go to a restaurant, he'll give you grace at the restaurant. God just is that way. We need to trust him, folks. And I know we do. I don't imply we don't. But God wants us to launch out. That's my burden for myself. And I pass it to you. That we, the songwriter said, I have flung myself recklessly out like a chip on the ocean of God's infinite love. I pass the rough roads or rocks with a smile and a shout and just let my dear God, his purpose fulfill. I got that close. God wants us to get out in the water. And the water's him, folks. It's not the Cimarron. And it's not Brother Stanley's. I have, Brother Clifford used to tell me, Brother Stanley, we got to remember we don't have any grace to give anybody. So don't you look to me. The sister is saying we look to Jesus. From him flows the water. An endless, endless, endless supply to meet all our needs. It's a river that we can be baptized in. We can be thoroughly wet in that water. Let's read on. In 12th verse is where we were. Shall the fruit thereof, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to the months. The psalmist said, bringeth forth fruit in its season, similar to this. Because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. I'm convinced in my little simple mind that periodically we all need healing. Something happens. And I don't mean sin, and I don't mean necessarily terrible things, but important things happen to us all. Disappointments, things happen. If you don't believe me, you better buckle down because it's coming. And we need ministering to, folks. And I can minister to you a little bit. We can hold one another's hands, and by all means we ought to. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Oh, by all means. But the Lord said we needed a comforter that goes beyond Brother Stanley, Brother Dan, Brother Philip, Sister Marcia, you, any of us. Goes beyond that. Folks, I'm so limited, it's pitiful. And I know it. Probably you know it. But God is unlimited. Grace for grace. An unlimited supply. It's expedient for you that I go away because you're going to need some comfort. You're going to need a lot of comfort. You're going to need a lot of protection. You're going to need a lot of healing. Life's going to do that, folks. You're going to need healing. Body's going to get sick. That's one aspect. Your soul is going to get sick in the sense that it gets attacked. The brother we talked about this morning, the call from his house was, it's rough. That's my word. But he's saying it's rough. And I'm a Christian and I'm a preacher, but it's rough. I need help. We're going to need it, folks. If you think you have it in yourself, I feel sorry for you. And I don't look down on you because I once thought, I didn't need others either. But what we're going to need when we draw that last breath and we look, the portals in beyond that cloud is the portals. We're going to need the comfort of the Holy Ghost. We're going to need God. There's healing in Jesus. There's healing in the Spirit of God. And God wants us not to, how shall I say this? I don't want to take away from what each joint supplies. So please don't even consider that as my thought. But we are going to need this river, if you will. We're going to need this virtue, strength, if you will, in us. It's got to be there for us to make it successful. At least that's the way I see it. This river, ninth verse, and it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. Here's the way I looked at that. Bear with us a little bit now. Everything that was intended to live, think about that now. Everything that was designed to live, this water came by it. I think the water came by places that were dry and maybe sickly. But the point was, in my mind, that there are things that are intended to be alive. And this great God of heaven will come by with His river to flood us. And wherever this river came, those things lived. Here's some thoughts, and I'll just quote these without having to look them up for the sake of time. Genesis 2 and 7. And man became a living soul. That river is going to pass by your soul. Because your soul is intended to live. God did not create you to die spiritually. He didn't create you to die literally, really. But He sure didn't create you to die, when I say you, mankind. He did not create you to die spiritually. But you did. But you were intended to life. So that river comes by, offering us, feeding us, healing us. 1 Peter 2 and 2, I believe, 2 and 3. speaks about Jesus coming as a living stone. Jesus is that life. And he said, ye also as lively stones. We have life in us, folks, via the Holy Spirit. And we'll read a scripture for that effect in a moment. The life that you see animated in the flesh is doomed. Young people, get a hold of what this man that's older than you is saying. You're young and strong and can jump and leap and kick the ball and, oh, you have so much energy. You're doomed. You don't like that? Maybe to hear. But the flesh is doomed. So the life has to go beyond that. Or what's he saying? The river flows to your soul, to your spirit, because that's where eternal life is. In hell or in heaven. You're going to live on that way. So the Lord recognizes that, and he wants your spirit to be alive. He wants it to be filled with his spirit. He wants us to be lively stones. That doesn't mean jumping around like a bunch of children. That means to have life itself, the essence of life, living within us, animated by God, directed by God, led by God. Romans 6 and 11, again speaking of life, that we are to reckon ourselves alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Again, the word life and alive comes in. Then, in the 6th chapter of John, in the 63rd verse, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. And the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life. It is the Spirit that brings life. The works of our hands, the obedience to the law, doesn't bring eternal life. And it does not bring spiritual life. But it is that river that comes from God. Adam Clark quoted someone, and he did not give this person's name, so I don't know who said this. But I thought about it, and it kind of blessed me. Speaking of this river, plunged in the Godhead's deepest sea and lost in his immensity. I like that thought. Plunged into the depths of God and lost in the immensity of it all. Puts things in perspective then. It gives us power, gives us authority. It creates life where there was just a semblance of life. I'd like to go to 2 Corinthians here and kind of wind down now. 2 Corinthians, the Lord had Paul write this. He's evidently quoting a scripture or context of other scriptures. You may not find this verbatim, but you find this as a theme and partial quotes in the Old Testament. Go with me to the 2 Corinthians letter, the 6th chapter and the 16th verse. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And this is what it said on. As God hath said, this is something God has said probably under the Old Testament time. I will dwell in them, and we know we can pick up phrases of this, but not necessarily this direct quote. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The trumpet declared that God wants to be in the midst of His people. The trumpet sound gave attention to the announcement that God wants to do great things. Speaks in the Old Testament about them limiting the Holy One of Israel. The only way I know to limit God is through my flesh. I can't stop God from doing whatever God wants to do. But I can stop Him from here. God wants to free me, I can stop that. God wants to free you, you can stop that. If God wants to bring happiness and joy in your life, you can prevent Him from doing that. But God wants to come in your life and flood us. We can have it. It's ours. It's a gift. It's given to us. The last verse we're going to read this morning, God wants to dwell in us. We're going to bring that river down even closer now in closing. John 7 and 37. Jesus had not been crucified. He had not resurrected, of course. He had not gone back to the Father, and the Holy Ghost had not come. And that's where we read. John 7, 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. I think He must have raised His voice. He may have cupped His hands over His mouth. Joel heard it blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. Jesus came and He ate with them and drank with them, and they said He's a gluttonous man and a wine bibber. But some heard the sound. Some said it thundered. Some knew God spoke. What are we here today? Jesus Christ spoke loud enough for the folks to hear Him. The trumpet sounded, and sounds today, by the way, loud enough, if we will, it'll get our attention. He wants to get our attention. And Jesus stood and cried, and He said this, "If any man thirst, let him come unto Me and drink. He that believeth," what a critical word this word is, believe. Another message there. We won't go there. "He that believeth on Me, as the Scripture said, out of his belly, his inwardmost being, shall flow rivers of living water. But this He spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him," you and me, "should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Jesus has been glorified. Jesus has been crucified. Jesus has been resurrected. Jesus has been seen on this earth. Jesus fed them by the seashore. Jesus was seen ascending back to the Father. Jesus is with the Father. Jesus has sent the Holy Ghost. And there were some in the upper room, all of them, I guess, who received the Holy Spirit. And Paul went a-preaching. And he got to Ephesus and he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? We have not so much heard if there be any Holy Ghost. And how were you baptized?" Well, under the baptism of John. And he explained to them and he taught them, and they were all baptized in the name of Jesus. And they all, I forgot whether it said He laid hands on them or not, but they all received the Holy Ghost. Seems rather simple. Where does the complication come? Me? You? The flesh? The person? So the Lord wants to flood us, that inside of us will be a river that we can swim in. It's the Spirit of God. He wants to liven us. And I don't mean, like I say, jumping pews. If you want to jump a pew in the Spirit, jump. That's not what we're talking about. Alive unto God, aware of His presence, walking in obedience, walking in joy, walking in peace, letting the very leaves of God's love heal you every time you need healing. Touch your body, touch your spirit, touch your mind, touch your emotions, touch you. God wants to flood us, saints. And He's doing it. I don't say He's not, but God wants to. Today, whatever type of ground I may be or you, I want you to know something. God's calling us to the river. And it's not the River Jordan, but it's that that comes from underneath the throne. I wish I could describe it better. And He wants you and me to be totally drenched, totally immersed, and not just the outward. Jesus said this, first make the inside platter clean. Then the outside will be clean. God wants to do a work not on just what you did wrong before you were saved. God wants to go down to the root of the matter. And God wants to give us a new heart where the issues of life come from. You pray for me.